Welcome to Eltel and John's La Liga Weekly. Listen, I'm not complaining, but just because it's a midweek round, it doesn't mean you have to go crazy. It's a 90-minute game of football. There's no need to play the whole thing like it's the last 60 seconds of a cup tie. Actually, for Real Madrid fans, it was sadly unsurprising that they lost to Valencia. Everyone says a clear-out is required. I wonder whether Zidane has any more kids he can call up. Actually, he has, yeah, Enzo. Yeah, no, scrap that idea. Valencia's success shows you the benefit of having the nerve to stick with the manager through some tricky times. Meanwhile, in Bilbao, Athletic won for the third match in a row. The last time they played Levante, they were hammered and were in the relegation zone. It shows you the benefits of a well-timed managerial change. Former Athletic keeper Aitor had a howler for Iñaki Williams' second goal, begging the question that if players aren't supposed to celebrate when they score against a former club, should they celebrate when they chuck one into their own goal? Hey, I've just let one in against the club that didn't want me. Ladies and gentlemen, I've written a letter to ITV. Dear sir or madam, thank you for your coverage of La Liga on ITV4, but I want to complain about the so-called expert co-commentator that you used on Tuesday. He started off saying Villarreal were good, and then he changed his mind and spent 10 minutes saying that Barca were going to win 8-0. And then he switched again and said that Villarreal had loads of excellent players and shouldn't be in a relegation fight. And then he claimed Ter Stegen was a world-class keeper just before he left a gap at his near post big enough for a Cambi to drive a taxi through. He said Umtiti brought some pace to Barcelona's back line, but the guy looked to me like he was running around in hobnail boots, and the dithering continued until the end when he finally gave up and said, "Just enjoy the game." Terry, you were great. It's the players' fault. If they're going to play like that, they don't deserve to be analysed. That's all I can say. Celta Vigo are easier to understand. A crazed experiment to work out whether they can sell all of their players except Iago Aspas and still stay up. Thank you for joining us. It's a bonus midweek podcast because we've had a round of games. If you want to tweet us, La Liga_Weekly, we have a Facebook page, ladies and gentlemen, a Facebook page. So tell your friends. We've just caught up with Facebook. Yep. It's a new thing, Terry. it's called La Liga Weekly. And at the moment, I've just put the links on it to a couple of the specials that we've done. So yep. The Raquel May one is on there, and the one we did, the Euros one.
Yeah.
And a couple of the videos that we were talking about are attached to it. So have a look, tell your friends, and we want more people listening.
They stay relevant, don't they?
So they are there. But you can listen to those anytime on the regular, just go to the regular Audio Boom page as well. So midweek round of games, Terry, it's a funny old business, isn't it?
It's not as bad as it used to be, though.
Yeah,
I know the results don't reflect that, but we used to get teams, managers of the smaller clubs in La Liga pretending they were Champions League managers for a week and everything going berserk for a week for the midweek round and dropping players, rotating players because it's one of their 38 league games in the season where I think they'll end up, most of them only playing just above that, two or three, four games in the Copa del Rey Center. Panic does set in. But that hasn't been the case. So you look at the team selections for this round, it hasn't been as bad as we have had in the past, but I think that's because there's still so many teams with stuff to play for now.
Yes.
When you look at pretty much the whole division, I know that the gap between Atletico and Barcelona is still significant, but they play each other at the weekend. But when you look further down, you've got top three is probably sorted, but the battle for Champions League, battle for Europa League, there aren't too many teams just hovering around with mid-table. There'll be some that are glad they're in that position. But there's a relegation battle, which we haven't had in recent seasons. So I think that's the reason why I think more managers this time have played their normal teams.
Let's get into the game of the rounds. It's game of the. Cameron says, did I miss the best La Liga game of the season on Tuesday night? We've got loads of questions about team selection and stuff, but let's talk about the game because it was a brilliant game.
It was, and it had a real good flow to it because the first 20 minutes...
Oh, sorry, let's so we say. Villarreal 4, Barcelona 4.
1-0 by, didn't it?
The 4-4.
Game. The first 20 minutes, Barcelona looked really impressive. Malcolm was particularly good, and it looked... I wasn't ever convinced it was going to be a walkover for Barcelona, even at 2-0. I didn't ever think that it was going to be 4-5-6 that we've seen in the past.
But they did have a spell, didn't they? Because they scored, was it 12 and 16?
Yeah.
Coutinho hit the post and they had another good chance. Look for that spell, you're thinking, what's this going to
really
finish?
Shaky,
yeah.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
And then there was two or three attacks from Villarreal prior to scoring the goal. Mm. And Chukwueze was the one that can be, the two of them up front were causing aggro for the Barcelona defence. I say defence, it was just the two central defenders. But that's what you get from Barcelona, the full-back push on. And if you're brave enough to leave two pacey players up front, you have half a chance with being direct, getting the ball into space, and it doesn't matter how good a player you are as a central defender, if the opponent striker is quicker and there's grass to run into behind, they will cause you problems. And Chukwueze and Akambi have got talent as well, so it was a real asset for Villarreal. And then to score four unanswered goals, which they did, to go 4-2 up, a complete turnaround. And thankfully, in the commentary, the one thing I said was, it's not over yet. Even when Bakker got the fourth goal in the 80th minute, it came down to Messi's free kick, essentially. He had to score that for any chance of a comeback, which he did. And then a stunning finish from Luis Suarez, and with his weaker foot as well. Mm. I mean, you could, on the replay there was the one snapshot. If you took that, that was the perfect demonstration of technique in terms of a volley. The angle of the foot, the getting his body over the ball. Why? On his weak foot in the last seconds. It was the last kick of the game.
Why was he there unmarked?
I don't know. I don't know why he was there.
Yeah, because he pulled
not
away.
A goal-scoring position.
No, he pulls right out of the area, doesn't he?
I guess he's. It's instinct. It's pure instinct. He's probably looking at his teammates, looking at Villarreal's team as well, playing with three at the back, got three big central defenders, other players that are big, Ibora's big. So he's probably thinking, he wasn't going to score direct from a header from the corner. Pico wasn't playing, so there was players that could have, you'd think, Villarreal going to win the first header. And that's what he's assumed. And he's taken up a position where a knockdown has fell kindly for him. And it's incredible. It's top draw finish.
Let me get into the questions. Umtiti first. Hamsi, why are commentators and the media targeting Umtiti after his performance against Villarreal when he played with an unnatural partner and side of the pitch? He was responsible for build-up play as well as recovering from injury. He is a beast when he plays with Piqué and Arthava, will Barca sell Umtiti to fund De Ligt?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're being harsh on Umtiti. I don't think there's any question about his genuine quality, which we've seen since he's been at Barcelona and since he's been playing for France. He's an absolutely brilliant central defender. But when players play bad, we're allowed to say they are playing bad.
And he was slow, wasn't he?
He looked ponderous. I wondered whether it was the impact of two left-footed central defenders. Mm. So he was playing on the right side. But Lenglet didn't look particularly good either. Mm. At the moment in time, I think what you get from a team, what you should have with a squad like Barcelona's is genuine competition for place. And I think that's what they've got. It's what they've been crying out for. And Valverde, when he does rotate, does see a drop-off in terms of quality. But I think you do need those... You shouldn't just have an easy ride at Barcelona and be however you're playing in the strongest 11. A manager needs to have those difficult decisions that he has to make, where he has to choose between Umtiti and Lenglet at the moment. He's got another problem where who plays against Atletico Madrid, who plays against Manchester United up front. If it's Messi and Suarez, is it going to be Malcolm or Coutinho? I would suggest at the moment Malcolm's in better form. So that's the type of problems you should have at Barcelona. You shouldn't just be... That's what Real Madrid want. It's what they haven't had. It's why they've been able to win Champions Leagues based on the small squad of 13, 14 trusted players when Zidane was in charge initially. They need 20 players, and if Gareth Bale's not playing well, then he needs to be replaced, and if he has to get his form back by coming off the bench, then that should be the case with the big clubs in Europe, surely.
Valverde was right to rotate in the Villarreal game. He made one mistake. It wasn't Umtiti, it was Sergi Roberto instead of Semedo. He didn't cover Umtiti, who was just back from injury. Barca dummy, Roberto is not a defender. He loses every physical aerial duel and is too soft to play in defence. Cal Ali, what was happening with Barca's defence in that
game? That's a fair point to make, I think. I think that we have overlooked Sergi Roberto in terms of what he is good at. He's a good all-round footballer. When Barcelona have majority of possession, he takes up really good positions in an attacking right-back role. He can then find a pass. He hasn't got the pace to beat opposing full-backs and get crosses in, but he doesn't. He's aware of that, so he uses a different method of getting the ball into the penalty area or into the strikers. What he isn't is a defender. I think any left-winger worth his money knows that if they do get the opportunity to play directly against Sergio Roberto, who's having to defend, I think majority of good left wingers will believe that they will have a field day. But for Barcelona, he doesn't. That doesn't happen that often. So should he have been covering Umtiti? That's not the job he's asked to do. The job he's asked to do. Perhaps at 2-0, it might have been wise to tell him to stay back. I know he doesn't always catch the eye like Jordi Alba pushing forward, but he still does go in advance. It's his job to, at the very least, step into a right-sided midfield role. And he gets caught out of position. He hasn't got the pace to get back. And Titi, is, if he's not playing well, will struggle to get across, and there will be problems for Barcelona.
Christopher asked a question about Malcolm playing more. I think you've answered that.
He's looking good, actually, yeah. Isn't he? He's more dynamic than Coutinho, I'd say, at the moment. That's going to be interesting to see in the next couple of big games that Barcelona have. Dembele, I believe, is almost back to fitness. They're not going to risk him for Atletico. I can't imagine he'll start against Manchester United. So I imagine he'll be on the bench. So I think that Valverde's going to have to make a choice. If I was a gambling man, I'd say he will probably go safe and still go with Coutinho.
That's Valverde, isn't it? Yeah, he's never...
That's because of knowing the style of the manager.
Yeah. And he's done all right. He's not always popular, that, is he? But he's a steady Eddie, isn't he, Valverde?
Yep.
Cameron Zinzu says, if Barca are to sell a reported 300 million worth of players in the summer, what other signings, apart from De Ligt, would you see the club making?
I mean, who would be the sales for 300 million?
I don't know, because presumably he's chucking Coutinho in there. I'm not sure.
Coutinho, Umtiti has been linked with, quite rightly, if Barcelona decide to sell Umtiti, which I don't think for 1 minute they should.
Mm.
Because of Piqué's age,
yeah,
I think it's important that they don't start letting players who are younger than Piqué that have shown the quality to play for Barcelona. So if they do sell him to Inter, that will bring into De Ligt. De Jong's already done, so there's talk that Rakitic might be, because of that same reason, probably looking at a player that's 9 years old.
Yeah.
Rakitic.
I don't think they should sell Rakitic.
I still think
he's a world-class midfielder.
If Barcelona, as we still think, I presume most people think they'll still win the league. The cup final against Valencia, which would be a tough game, but they'll still be favourites. If they were to win the Champions League, is there a need for a big clear out and turnaround in players? I probably would suggest no. In comparison to Real Madrid, for instance.
Yeah. Shall we get on to Real Madrid then? So that didn't go so well. They lost 2-1. At Valencia. I'm just wondering, should we do the Tuesday? No, let's get on to this, shall we? Because everyone, Real Madrid. Because I know loads of people that listen for Real Madrid for good reasons and for bad reasons. Real Madrid attacked interest. People who like to see them struggle. There we are. Such as Gav. Do you think Madrid will grab fourth spot? He says. Ollie, do he's some more. do some more Real Madrid fantasy transfer chess. He said. Coffee says, has Benzema cast a spell on both Florentino and Zinedine Zidane? How come he wasn't subbed off against Valencia? We'll get on to Valencia in a bit, but we'll do a little Real Madrid. So, you know, they lost again. Nothing is demonstrably better than it was under Santi Solari.
No, well, it started brightly, didn't it, against Celta?
Yeah.
But it was a good opponent to have in Celta Vigo at home for Zidane's first game. You had the new bounce of the manager. Then the second game wasn't as impressive against Huesca, but they needed a late goal to win. And then the performance against Valencia. I don't want to go overboard on Real Madrid in that particular game because as we'll talk later, Valencia are a good team. Underachieved for the first half of the season, but are now in really good form. And Valencia away at the Mestalla, who Valencia have found the way to win games as opposed to drawing games. They're in a better place mentally than Real Madrid are at the moment, who are running the season down. So that's a tough game. So take that result in isolation. I don't think it's not a dreadful performance, dreadful result from Real Madrid. But it did highlight the issues that Zidane has got to resolve for next season.
Yeah.
He's sticking with Marcelo, who again I thought was poor. Bale come off the bench, I thought was poor again. And I was thinking about Gareth Bale. When we look back in years to come and we go Gareth Bale, I'm going to remember him for being this supreme athlete, whether it's jumping high, running fast, great distances, short distances, scoring goals from long range. We're not seeing any of that at all at the moment. I'm not seeing him burst past an opponent and leave them for dead. I remember a goal, I think it was last season, where he ran the right-hand channel, it was a diagonal pass, and then cut it back on his left foot. left the opponent for dead, and whipped it into the opposite top corner with a curled finish. And that was the Gareth Bale that we've come to know and admire. But at the moment, I don't see that burst of pace and that energy and jumping high and running fast. And it's a problem.
If you want to buy a player like Gareth Bale, you can. How much medical work can you do on him? You obviously have a medical, but is a medical just pass or fail? Do you have some kind of serious knee injury?
In my time, it was
run up and down the steps.
It pretty much was that.
Yeah,
yeah. And they would look at previous injuries, X-rays and stuff. Now we're seeing them wide up to heart rate monitors, running on a treadmill.
So, but that's presumably intake. That's presumably like an insurance thing. So that, you know, that they haven't got some kind of heart issue or something, but. Can you do, because the crucial thing, whether you're going to pay 100 million for Gareth Bale, you want to know, has he lost his pace? You know, yeah, is that pace now in terminal decline?
I don't believe there is, because then you would be asking the player to perform certain exercises, which they're not going to do.
No.
Particularly if there is an issue that they're trying to hide.
Yeah.
You're talking about the NFL, where they do the combine, where they do certain sprints and everyone gets timed, certain jumps, everyone gets measured.
Yeah.
So that's a part of how you become an NFL player. You do those distances, you do those times, you
and
do certain drills where you
to be seen.
Are timed and stuff, and everyone's measured by that. You're not going to get Gareth Bale if Manchester United want to buy Gareth Bale and they turn up at the training ground and say, right, Gareth, get your kit on. Can you sprint this far? Can you jump this high? Can you do this in that time and whatever? That's not going to happen.
Isn't it weird?
It's a trial,
Because Michael Owen, talking last year about the end of his career, and he got quite a bit of sympathy because he basically was a player of explosive pace. And in the second half of his career, after his hamstring injuries, he didn't have explosive pace. So he said it was a real struggle, and I knew it was a struggle. And he got a lot of sympathy. My thought was thinking, well, if I was a Stoke City fan, I'm thinking we're paying you, or Newcastle fan, we're paying you the money, mate. You know, it's coming out of my pocket into the club.
I was exactly the same. Not comparing myself in any other way to Michael Owen, but my second half of my career, I had a broken ankle. I had a broken ankle that was screwed and pinned, and my main asset was pace. And I knew when I came back, I wasn't as quick.
Although,
but I was 26, 27, and you still feel you can do it. There's going to be. It's only later on when you finish and you look back and you think that, and you think, I couldn't run as fast because my ankle didn't move as much as it did prior to my ankle being broken on both sides. But I was just defiant, determined, believing that I was, and believing that if I wasn't, it was going to come back. So that's probably the same with Michael Owen. You don't want to write yourself off at any stage. You want to challenge yourself, and you want to prove people, you know. So I had to change my game, which is not ideal if you're 5'4" and your main asset is pace, and then you start. Alan Shearer did it.
Yeah.
Alan Shearer changed completely as a player. He was dynamic. He was chasing the channels. He was lightning quick, Alan Shearer. Until he did his knee. And that Alan Shearer was blessed with physical attributes where he could then become more of a traditional centre forward, but still retain his movement in the box, his power in the box, and the fact that he was an unbelievable finisher. So he was able to do that. At 5'4", me, Michael Owen at 5'7", we couldn't change, and suddenly our main asset was our pace. Mm. You can then suddenly change and become this direct target man centre forward,
getting
on the end of high crosses, still being strong enough to beat opponents.
And that
had gone.
You can still be a good player, can't you? Which, you know, you were still a good player at the end of your career. Michael Owen was
totally,
but he wasn't the player who scored all those goals for Liverpool and England and went to Real Madrid. He wasn't that player towards the end of his career, Michael Owen. But you're still paying the wages, so that's the weird thing, isn't it? If I'm Man United or someone,
I didn't feel I was cheating anyone, and Michael Owen probably didn't feel he was cheating anyone.
Because you're doing the best that you can do.
You're doing the best, and you're blind to it. You're thinking, you're in the moment. You're not thinking.
And you're being defiant.
And you're doing everything you can, and you think, there's no proof. There was no proof I wasn't quicker. I was slower. There was no proof. There was none of these time trials where you sprint and everyone could look at it and go, last year, before your ankle, you were doing this 40-metre sprint in 4.5 seconds. Now you're doing it in 5.5. There was none of that. So it's a really good point you make, but it's not going to happen, and because players are they're not going to get the kit on, they're not going to do the trials, they'll get the, they'll strip down and do a medical and leave it up to you to find out the strength, the power of your muscles, the oxygen intake and stuff like that, heart rate can be measured, but they're not going to get kit on and go on trial.
I suppose if you're desperate to force a move, now all the word of Gareth Bale is that he doesn't want to go anywhere. I suppose if you're desperate to force a move, you could, couldn't you? You could say, when you hit 30, you could put your own stats out there and say, look, I'm as fast as I was when I was 26.
And then, but we want to see evidence of it. I'm doubtful that Gareth Bale isn't as quick. We're just not seeing him in that position to take players on, to knock it past fullbacks and beat them. I was watching the other night, and when he came on, he played right side, and Andre Hazard was running past him, kind of clogged the space up for Gareth Bale a little bit. So then Gareth Bale was coming inside, and in a more crowded area, he wasn't finding himself in a position of the pitch where he's isolated with space and one defender to beat. So there's other issues as well, but I want to see that version of Gareth Bale. If he wants to stay at Real Madrid, we need to see that quickly between now and the end of the season.
Zengrin Yoda, the Valencia game epitomised how far Real Madrid have fallen. Zidane and Perez should be in a conference room with a for sale sign on pretty much the entire squad. The team can't defend, can't control tempo, can't score, have no playing philosophy. This is serious. Joe wonders whether if they splashed the cash in the summer, someone like Guedes from Valencia would be an effective bargain.
Yeah, Zidane has got to decide what he feels he needs, and he also has the problem now that although the season is running down for Real Madrid, and with the new manager Florentino Perez, the supporters would be hoping that Zidane would still be able to fire up the enthusiasm and have a strong end to the season. But I think he's up to about 20 players already that he's used, maybe more, maybe 21, and then the players have started looking at that and thinking, well, if he's not picking what everyone believes to be strongest 11, then they might start to believe it's time the season is winding down without anything to play for. So he's entitled to look at the amount of players he's got, but it would probably help this season. I know it's not majorly important. If, like, Toni Kroos missed the game and Modric missed the game at the weekend, come back for last night, they're probably thinking, are we going to be playing at the weekend? Are they training at their best? Are they at the sharpest? Is he going to make more changes at the weekend? I would suggest he probably will. Someone mentioned about Benzema. I don't think he should be sold, because I think the strikers of his quality are few and far between still. Still think he's shown enough this season to suggest that he is still good enough to play for Real Madrid up front, but he needs to be challenged. By that I mean, probably with all due respect to Mariano Diaz, he needs to be challenged by another top striker, and Zidane has to give whoever comes in the opportunity to genuinely challenge Benzema or play with him. You know, at the moment Benzema plays, Mariano Diaz has barely played this season. That's not Zidane's fault, it's the third manager Real Madrid have had, but he hasn't had the impact that we thought he might have when he returned back from Lyon. So they need, we talked about Umtiti earlier being challenged for his place, and that's what Real Madrid have got to do with the centre-forward position.
Let's have a little pause, shall we, and then we'll have a look at Valencia and the race for the Champions League places in a moment. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on El Tel and John's La Liga Weekly. We will get our Patreon page going soon, because we need to give us some money at some point. If you some people hear adverts and some people don't, and I don't know why. I don't know where the money goes. We haven't had any money from anyone yet, so we'll see. But thank you for listening. Please tell your friends, share it on your social media and all of that. Very important. We used to have the might of a marketing department behind us at Sky, didn't we? But now we don't.
No.
But we still love talking Spanish football, and we love to watch Valencia's revival at the moment. Lars Bo says, what's going on with Valencia? Can they make the Champions League? Silas, how have Valencia improved so fast? Should Valencia have multiple focal points of attack like Guedes and Rodrigo instead of having one? So that's actually a slightly different question, isn't it? But how have they got better than they were when they couldn't win a game and drew everything?
I think when you look at their team now, it's the team that should be playing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Condogbia and Parejo, Guedes, Soler, Gamero, Rodrigo, Centimina coming off the bench. Good competition for places there. Have they recovered quickly? No, I think it's been a slow build-up. What we're seeing now is what we should have seen in the first half of the season, where they became the team that were expert at drawing games.
Yes.
They've probably been helped by the fact that they're running the Copa del Rey that's taken them to the final. It's hindered their progress in terms of... It's a good squad, but it's not a massive squad.
Mm.
And also, I think the point you made in the intro about sticking with a manager for a change.
Yes, yeah.
You know, a manager that took them to the Champions League last season, finishing in fourth. And there were genuine concerns this season on three or four different weeks where he was going to get sacked.
Absolute madness to sack him.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I'm pleased they stuck with him. And they're the informed team at the moment in terms of those teams chasing the fourth spot. So to think, what are we talking about? Christmas? They were... I never thought they were relegation contenders. Yeah. Of course not. But I didn't think Villarreal would still be there. They are. But Valencia were toiling away down towards the bottom, them and Athletic Bilbao, and you're thinking sooner or later that they're going to get it right, and that's what they've done at the moment.
We'll get on to the rest of those in a moment. Ahmad, can they win the Europa League, Valencia? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're one of the teams that can, aren't they, definitely? Andrew, interesting question. Can you see Marcelino making the step up to an elite club? So they're... Where are Valencia? They're semi-elite, aren't they? But they don't have the money.
At Barcelona.
Yeah.
Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Yep. I think his name is... It's very possible that he could be linked with either of those two jobs in the future.
Is his playing style an issue?
In general, I think it's okay. I think they suffered this season, no doubt, and they weren't great to watch for the first half of the season. They were dour. I get what you mean about his playing style. He's not Paco Gemes by any means or Quique Setién. He's quite pragmatic. But even when they were struggling this season, their goals against record would have given him hope. So he does build from the back. He tries to play 4-4-2 with two wide players, two attackers. But he does like his defence to be strong. And in saying that, the full-backs still push forward against Real Madrid. Daniel Vaz and Gaia still push forward. So I don't think there's anything there that would put off a president thinking, or a chairman in England, owner in England, thinking that he's dour. I think he's dour. I think he's methodical and well organised. But no, I think... Listen, Valencia's a big club.
Yeah, well, that's another question, isn't it?
The point you're making, the three jobs we get at the moment, which obviously could be described as bigger, would be the three, top three.
Mm.
But there are Valencia amongst European jobs in football is a really, really good job to have.
So where would he go? Would he go, say, Chelsea? There might well be a vacancy at Chelsea in the summer.
I believe that would be...
If Chelsea asked you, would you say, have a good look at him, talk to him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also you've got to... We I guess at some stage we can talk about Athletic Bilbao, how well they've done under Gaizka Garitano. And his record since he's taken over 32 points in 16 games and 9 wins. When Barito was manager, they had 1 win, 11 points in the first 14 games. He's been rewarded today with the contract for next season. One season.
Yeah.
So he's been in this unbelievable run of form from Athletic Bilbao, which has seen them on the... it's not beyond the realms of possibility, like Champions League.
Yeah. And big banner headlines on the like marker and stuff.
And he's got a one-year contract for next season.
Yeah.
So there is that element that we still underestimate how much money a manager would earn at a Chelsea to a Valencia. And I'm not going to say there's any more job security at a Chelsea. But the job security would come from the big fat 3-4 year deal that a manager gets when he takes over a big club in maybe another league in Europe. That he probably hasn't got in Spain. And managers don't get in Spain. It's quite ridiculous that Athletic Bilbao have rewarded the manager with a job for one more season. I think Premier League clubs possibly could get away with that.
Yeah, but they don't, do they?
I don't know if it's an embarrassment. I don't know whether Manchester United thought... I don't know how long Solskjaer has got.
But it's got, yeah, it's not just next season.
And it's millions and millions and millions of pounds, where it doesn't compare to what he was probably earning at Molden.
When he was previously manager
at Cardiff.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? They're never looking at it that way.
I wonder if Manchester United had said to Solskjaer, "You've done brilliant, I'll give you a 1-year deal," and
what's he going to say? No, I'm going back to Molden.
Yeah. £2 million a year, as opposed to, I don't know what he's earning, 10. I don't know.
Yeah, he's on more than minimum wage, more than £10 an hour. I'm sure he's on more than that. So the rest of the questions are the other teams in that area. So the Cat Whisperer, who's going to win the race for fourth? Don't count Athletic out. Callum, he's predicted the whole thing. He says 4 Valencia, 5 Getafe, 6 Athletic, 7 Sevilla, 8 Alaves. Thomas, what do you reckon Getafe making the Champions League? Only a matter of time before Sevilla, or more likely Valencia, overtake them. Rui, not much of a question, but is it wrong of me to want to see Getafe out of the European places altogether? Oh, Rui, nasty.
Why? I kind of get his point.
Should we just actually?
And we have criticised Getafe in the past.
Yeah. Should we just do the scores?
Previously in the league. Yeah.
Yeah. So Espanyol 1, Getafe 1, Sevilla 1-2-0 Thursday night against Alaves. Athletic 1-3-2 against Levante. Is that everyone in the? Yeah, that's. Oh, yeah. So that's the Champions League picture, isn't it?
Yes.
Obviously, Valencia beat Real Madrid. Yeah.
Yes.
So, sorry, carry on.
In the past week, we criticised Getafe when they were previously in the division for lack of atmosphere and lack of style and not great to watch. They have been this season. The stadium's better. It's more vibrant. They're back in their team. They're back in their manager. It's fantastic what they've done. But I kind of get the point that if Getafe get into Champions League, I don't think they're getting out of the group.
Yeah.
And there are people who like Spanish football in general and haven't got a particularly favourite Spanish team but like to see La Liga teams do well in European competition, then I don't think Getafe would go past the group stages. So do La Liga need a fourth-place team that can get out the group? I know Valencia didn't this season. I know Sevilla haven't in the past and have dropped down, but I would be really surprised if Getafe get out of the group stage in the Champions League.
So the La Liga marketing department don't want Getafe, do they? They don't want this team that plays the way they play in that stadium with that, you know, that, not the fact the fans are great, but there aren't many of them.
Yep.
And all these guys are quite old.
Marketing campaign would want the top three as it is now and then Valencia or Sevilla.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You could sell Betis, couldn't you?
Betis are out of it now.
Yeah, yeah, and if they play, as everyone says every week, they got it, the ball zipping around.
In that stadium.
Yeah.
Packed houses. They would be the marketing campaign from La Liga.
Yeah.
They would do La Liga proud. Getafe would do La Liga proud in terms of it's a brilliant story. Are they running out of steam? I think they are. At the moment,
no winning three.
Yeah,
Drawing
away at Espanyol, losing against Leganés last weekend as well. Suddenly the results have gone against them, and teams below them do have momentum. Sevilla, good win for them, much needed win for Sevilla. Few players back from injury and suspension helped Joaquin Caparrós, and that was a really hard fought game over Alaves.
Rafa wants to know, what does Pablo Sarabia have to do to get a call from Luis Enrique?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll happen because he's pretty much giving everybody that's anywhere near a international call-up, he's given an opportunity. So I think it's only a matter of time.
Iñaki Williams, Neil, great header from Iñaki. He was talking about the other stuff as well. But yeah, great header, Iñaki. Could he get a... He's got a cap or two.
He's still involved in the 21s, I think.
Is he?
I believe I saw the recent game. I looked at the Spain under 21s. I'm sure he was in it with Oyarzabal, and I thought, cool, that's... quite lively.
He's 29, isn't he?
I have to check on that. I'm pretty sure I saw Iñaki Williams and Yathabel in the squad.
Take your word for it.
And thought...
Actually, I say I'm taking your word for it. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. You don't believe me. I might be wrong. And if I talk long enough, you might prove me wrong. Iñaki Williams will be there or thereabouts when it comes to the Spain national team in the future. Sarabia has to be. He said he had genuinely had 60-odd players to select from. I think it's probably more. Because I think he might have just been talking about those in La Liga. Because there's a lot of players that weren't involved in the last squad. It was a rather strange squad.
Mm.
Strange teams. No Coke, no Thiago. So he is genuinely having a look at every single play going. But that was a really hard fought win over Alaves. Athletic Bilbao against Levante. Levante, one win in their last 10. That was against Celta Vigo. So I've got them down with a big R. They're firmly in the relegation battle.
But they were unlucky with the VARs, weren't they?
Well, I have no explanation why the penalty was given.
Yeah.
On the foul on Munyain.
Yeah.
I didn't see clear evidence.
Seemed to stumble into a foul. The players. Yeah.
And an exaggerated fall from Munyain as well.
Yeah.
So they were unlucky with that. I think it's going to go. The teams with the momentum clearly are Valencia and Athletic Bilbao. And as I said, that was a big win for Sevilla to claw themselves back into it. They're level now with Valencia. Both teams are a point behind Getafe. Athletic Bilbao 4 points off of Getafe, so there's every possibility they can. Did you check? Did you get any news on
that? News in. I'm afraid, Terry, I can't. He wasn't in the.
He wasn't in the squad.
And he is 24.
Oh, he's 24. Yeah. That's why he's burning. Yeah. Who was the front?
Up front, Mayoral, Rafa Mir, Danny Olmo of Dinamo Zagreb. Dinamo Zagreb and
he's been somewhere else.
Manu Vallejo of Cadiz. So Danny Olmo is from Barcelona.
Well,
he came through. He's down as a midfielder. Yeah,
oh,
he moved. So he's Catalan. This Danny Olmo.
Yeah, no, I've seen the name.
But he moved to Dinamo Zagreb where 5 years ago.
And he's still in the
under-21s. Yeah. And his dad was a footballer, but he's called Mikel. If anyone knows more about him, let us know.
Yeah.
I've read that off Wikipedia, by the way, if you want to. Yeah, that's not knowledge coming from the back of my head. Right, so let's have a look at the... Atleti, we haven't done Atleti, have we? Because obviously they're on their glory march now that they can't catch Barcelona. Or can they catch Barcelona? They beat Girona 2-0. Godin with the... one of the messiest goals of the season.
Yeah.
But they actually, to be fair, they got it right.
Yeah.
And then Griezmann with a very not untidy goal, a lovely little dink finish.
Dink over the goal.
At the end.
You could see that in a mile off, though, couldn't you? I knew it. The goalkeeper tried to stay up, but bottled it.
Oscar Luis Hernandez for 18 million is nuts. The most expensive transfer ever in the Bundesliga. By contrast, Marty, why do Atletico players have reasonable buyout clauses? Partey, 50 million, linked with Man United this week.
I've seen Rodrigo linked
with
70 million buyout.
Hernandez gone for 80 million. That's not... because Guedes is, for example, 270. So that is saying you're not having him.
Yeah.
And then the Griezmann's only 120, apparently.
Yeah, which that's the one that surprises me.
Yeah.
Because in general, they paid him a fortune to stay.
Yeah.
Which means then a club has the right to put a ridiculous buyout clause on.
Yeah.
If the player isn't being paid a fortune, then it reflects on the buyout clause.
Mm.
So I get it with Rodrigo. Atletico paid 20 million for him.
Yeah.
And he's probably not on...
Yeah, so give him a pay rise.
Ridiculous money. If they want to give him a ridiculously high contract, they have the right then. So it kind of matches up. So if you buy him for 20 million and you put him on 40,000 euros a week, his buyout clause will be reasonable. If you give him 140,000, you can put what you want on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one I'm surprised about is Griezmann.
Yeah.
That they've given him more money than Barcelona were prepared to pay him. And yet the buyout clause is still relatively low.
Which is why the speculation is there, isn't it?
Rodrigo is a problem.
Yeah.
70 million euros, the step up he's made, playing for Villarreal to Atletico Madrid on a regular basis, playing for Spain, it opens the doors for big clubs in Europe to look at him. And Atletico might have to give him another contract and ask him to, which is out of the question, to up the buyout clause. They should. I'd pay 70 million for it all day long.
Yeah. Connor, with Eibar mid-table, do you think they should be pushing for Europe or content with where they are? And he says, love the old pod. I'm glad to listen to you guys again. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, Connor. Eibar, the relegation battle from day one, and they're safe with 8 games to go.
Yeah. Yeah, winning the relegation battle.
And they've shown, we've got I think I'm looking at the three to go down there, and I'm thinking it's the three that come up.
Mm.
I'm worried it's going to be the three that come up.
Yeah, so Leganés beat Valladolid, 90th minute goal.
Yes.
Rayo lost 2-1. They're in front, weren't they? real yes. blow, that, wasn't it?
One of the other comebacks.
Yeah, and we'll get to Celta Vigo. In fact, let's do Celta Vigo, Huesca, shall we? 3-3. Another bizarre game, wasn't it, with Celta Vigo? I mean, great fun.
Yep, 1-0 up in the 14th minute, and then 2-0 up with Aspas in the 57th. You think, oh, they're in control. And then Huesca
did you? I never
three.
Thought they were in control of anything, Celta Vigo.
I think
2-0. Yeah.
You
should win.
Think,
yeah.
You should win against a team at the bottom.
Yeah.
Finding it hard to win games. And then for Huesca to get three unanswered goals, to take a 3-2 lead, classic Huesca.
Yes.
Concede again late.
Yeah.
Turn a win into a draw. Last week, concede late, turn a draw into a defeat away to Real Madrid.
A naive.
It's happened.
Are they naive? How much do you applaud it?
No, I would say just lack that just, quality. That's
just where
bridging
they are.
That gap between Segunda and the Primera Division.
And then they had a sitter to win it.
Example.
Gallejo in the 93rd minute should have won it for them.
So I'm looking at the three now that came up. Valladolid are really slipping down the table, finding it really hard to win games of football. Our Celta, if you look at the teams that are down the bottom, you're looking at Celta and Villarreal just below Valladolid, and you're thinking possibly the quality is slightly better there. Certainly more goals will be scored by Celta and Villarreal. Another game for Valladolid, but they don't score a goal. And Levante, I think, one win in their last 10, as I said, and that was against Celta Vigo. So they're grateful for the fact they had a decent start to the season, Levante, because, I mean, I was going to say they would be in big trouble. I think they possibly are now, 3 points above the drop in 15th. Girona, the last team, possibly, I think Girona, they haven't won a home game since week 10, I made a point of saying.
So
they've only won 14th, they're 5 above relegation. Last home win was week 10.
Yeah.
In the last 20, they've won 5 all away from home. Their next two games are at home against Espanyol and Villarreal. And then after that, their next two away games are Celta and Valladolid. So in the next four games, we're going to see Girona out of it or right in the thick of it. I'm not sure which way that's going to go, to be honest.
And you're looking, if you do the maths, then Celta have 30 games and 29 points.
Yep.
Project that forward, so therefore you'd need 38, might keep you up.
Yep.
So you're looking at that. In the past, 10 years ago, when you used to be able to bribe people for points at the end of the season.
pay teams to play well.
Yeah. Well, that was it. Yeah. It was weird, wasn't it? The old suitcases. But that doesn't happen. The authorities.
We should explain for people that don't know that. People used to, if you were mid-table, if you were able, say you're Espanyol now, and in the last game of the season you were playing Celta Vigo, Villarreal want you to beat Celta Vigo, so Villarreal would pay the Espanyol players to play well.
Yes.
If they won. So if they won, they got a bonus from
because
Villarreal.
There was this notion that it was dishonourable to send to relegate a club when you didn't need the points. So they therefore paid them in order to play properly.
Villarreal would pay Espanyol players to beat Celta.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and they didn't think there was anything wrong
with that. Yeah. And it
clearly
obviously blew up in the end.
Because the issue was, if Villarreal didn't offer Espanyol's players money to beat Celta, then they wouldn't.
Yeah.
It really did tarnish it.
Theoretical cases, those, by the way. But it happened for real.
It happened openly admitted.
Yeah.
It was fill your boots time if you were a mid-table team with three or four games of the season left.
Yeah.
You was getting bonuses from your own club and bonuses from teams that were battling to stay up and hope you beat a rival in a relegation position.
Which meant that you saw teams who you'd seen with your own eyes be rubbish suddenly at the end of the season suddenly turning over teams all up. How did they win? But there we are. I think that's where we are. Oh, Celta Vigo, history boys abroad, can you name a player with more importance to his club and his city than Aspas? Don't say Messi. And then Charlie, Aspas is the single most important player at any club in Europe. I hope for Celta's sake they say, but I don't know enough about it to know.
Yeah, he's really important
to
Celta.
You'd have to consider it.
And he came off injured.
Yeah.
So that's a
good word.
Huge
but they say it was precautionary now. He didn't cry.
I thought he nearly did.
Right, yeah.
I'm not so sure. I might be more of an... Because he actually was subbed a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And couldn't come on.
Mm.
Because during these warm-up, he felt the injury.
Yeah.
He's come back, had to come off holding his hamstring. I really hope for his sake and Celta's sake that it's not going to keep him out of a tough game at the weekend against Real Sociedad.
Barca dummies, he wants to bet which stadium will be ready first, the Bernabeu or the Camp Nou.
Bernabeu or the Camp Nou. I think we're going to throw in the new Mestalla, wasn't it? That's still knocking around.
Oh, yes, yes, it is. That's not going anywhere.
Bernabeu
or
the Camp Nou? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Mark O'Brien.
Real Madrid Stadium's in a right state. It's a real good refurbishment.
Oh, it's bizarre. Bernabeu. It's bizarre, isn't it? Spending a fortune on a stadium.
I'm joking if anyone's going to get ready to hammer me for.
Yeah.
It's one of the current best stadiums in the world.
Yeah.
It's. How are they going to make it? It's unbelievable stadium.
Yeah, finally have that cheese room that the poor old Spurs fans were denied after all that
it's
promises.
Not there.
No, there's no cheese room. I'm afraid it was all. Anyway, last question. The answer may be no. Did you see from Mark? Did you say Pozuelo's debut for Toronto?
No, I haven't. No.
He set up a goal brilliantly, and he scored this. He scored an outrageous chip. To I don't know if it was the winner, but 27.
Yeah, the MLS is becoming more attractive for players of good ages, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was seen in the past as either young players that didn't crack it in the European leagues, or older players that were, the star names.
Yeah,
but it does look a genuine career move now for a lot of players.
He wants to know what he was like in Spain. He didn't play that much in Spain. Did he? Came through at Betis, didn't he? And I liked him. I thought he was very talented. I thought
he went off to another country.
Went to Swansea,
of course,
which was and I thought that was to the wrong league at the wrong time.
Yeah,
because he's not a physical
player. Classic Betis player as well. Wasn't
he? Yeah,
in terms of style.
Yeah, and then he went to Belgium he played and he's really good. I saw him play a Europa League game for Genk.
And there's been a lot of young players from Spain that have left Spain at an early age and gone to Suso is a good example. He's flying at Milan and.
Yeah,
eyebrows were raised when he was called back into the Spain squad.
Yeah,
but he deserved it. His form at Milan has been good. There's lots of good young players from Spain that have moved to other European leagues, in particular.
So there we are. That's the midweek round done. So we start again Saturday with the next round of games. So make sure you join us again at the weekend. You're in Barcelona.
Yes, I'm this weekend. Yes.
So and I'm not. So we'll be slightly distant when we chat. So the games are Girona Espanyol, Real Madrid Eibar, Rayo versus Valencia. So in the UK, that's the ITV4 game, and then Barca Atleti. That'll be on Premier. And on 11. They're all on 11 as well, aren't they? So, and then so Sunday, Alaves, Leganés, Getafe versus Athletic. That's in that new time slot. Valladolid, Sevilla, Celta Vigo, Real Sociedad, Levante, Huesca's big game, isn't it? And then Betis, Villarreal. It's just weirdly the one with least on it is probably Barcelona, Atleti, arguably, or Real Madrid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's Atleti have got to win, haven't they? I think Costa Morata doubtful for injury. That's a really massive blow. Lamar definitely out, and of course Barcelona play Manchester United midweek. So after the Atletico game, so that is still going to be a must watch. But I think Atletico, of course, they have to win it and then apply some pressure on Barcelona.
So we will be podcasting again at the weekend with Terry Gibson live from Barcelona. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, share on social media, all of that, and we'll see you for that. Bye bye.